Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with Echoes from the Caverns. Newscast dated December 22, 2017. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Tekel and is a joint podcast project created and run by Lord Baldreth and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, here we are. It's nearly the end of the year. Hasn't it been a wonderful year, everyone? So much has happened in the game. The game itself is continuing to take shape. It's starting to look a lot more polished, a lot closer to being finished. And as we announced last week, there is actually a release date on the horizon. So that's absolutely awesome. And of course, as I mentioned last week, this is the season for holidays and celebration and stuff like that. Lord Baldreth is enjoying a well-deserved vacation, so I'll be running the show again myself this week. Hope it's not too boring for you all, but we'll try and get through the news and keep you up to date with everything that's happening. Well, once again, I managed to spend a bit of time in-game this week, which is always really good to do. Tried a couple of different areas that I hadn't been to for a while or a long time, and had a bit of fun in Superstition Canyon. Now, that's always been an area that's terrified me, and it has a bit of a bad reputation. So I thought, oh, what the heck, I'll go back and have a look. And it turns out that it was a lot of fun. Yes, they have a control point there, and yes, if you stand on it and change the flag, then people will keep coming at you. And I managed to down quite a lot of them, which was really a good feeling. I did die a couple of times. That's not such a good feeling. But it's actually a fun place to go now. So a word to everybody who's feeling a bit discouraged and gets creamed by a lot of mobs wherever they go. It does get better. As you advance in skills and experience, places get easier and easier, and you can walk through these places, flicking the mobs off right and left, and think, gee, I used to be afraid to come here, but now it's absolutely a pleasure. So, it is wonderful how the game progresses, and how your character can progress, and how you can just kick things aside where they used to kill you so quickly. Alright, we have a news update. It's number 259, and it's entitled Happy Holidays Community. Yeah, great. Okay, greetings, here's what we have for you this week. We've got items, as always, under game development, the news announcements, and the community updates. So first of all, under game development, we have an item called The Making of You. The elven city of You has been shielded from outsiders by a nearly constant shroud of fog that only clears during certain alignments of the heavenly bodies. The city itself is full of wonderful elven architecture, and because of the natural foggy defences, has never been fortified. You is currently a clone of Xanaford, but it's being rebuilt for release 50. Now, as with other town rebuilds, the locations of player lots, merchant locations, and scene exits will not be changed. So don't panic. If you happen to have a lot in you, you will still be able to find your way home. The layout will be the same. It's just going to be spruced up and it'll look really nice. And there's a bit of a post here from Sorceress Steve. He says, hey guys, Sorceress Steve here to give you a sneak peek on my latest map. For release 50, I've been hard at work on uncloning the town of You. Located in North Paladus, the town of You will be shrouded along its perimeter with a dense fog. In designing You, we wanted the town to be built around these giant hero trees, and from these trees, we created a town that had its structures built around them, giving life to a new elven town. And we have a screenshot here which looks pretty nice actually. There looks to be a huge tree in the background. So that's probably the tree he's talking about, with some town structures in the foreground. And I think it'll be a delight to go there and have a look, check it out. He says further, from the ground level, a system of bridges connects the outside areas of the town to the centre gazebo, while a system of elevators and stairs takes you up into the canopy, where elevated platforms support elven homes. And this is the concept of all the elven tree houses that they have. So obviously they've used them extensively in this particular town, and it's going to look very different to every other town that we have. So that's really great. Okay, at night time, you comes to life in a wonderful display of colour. Fantastic. I can see some glowing type mushrooms there. And yeah, it looks really, really pretty. And small little streams which feed from a nearby spring crisscross the lower level of the town of Yew. Beautiful little river there with a bridge crossing it and some buildings in the background. I think it's going to be very pretty. And there's another direct shot of the centre of the town, this time during the day. And in the background, the giant tree towers above it all. So there you go. Just a brief outline of the rebuilding or the remaking of Yew. And obviously they're nearly there with finishing off the game. Once they're finished recloning all these scenes, all the essential scenes anyway, and making them unique and different, this game will be ready to push out. That's fantastic. Okay, now the next item is a lot of fun. I think a lot of people will appreciate this. We have updates to the map system. So Corey, or Roy Kirk, has started a thread where we'll be posting new map features and content as they come online, along with instructions on how to use them. Now, you ask yourself, why are we doing this? Because it's often going to go live out of sequence with the releases, because the map itself isn't tied to the game releases. Technically, it's not part of the game. It's not part of the whole humongous pile of data that you get when you download a patch. It's a web service. It's just integrated with the game. So that can be updated and altered and changed totally independently. So you might find the map service changes and new features are added out of sequence and halfway through a patch or halfway through a release. So this is why they've added a thread to the forum to say, okay, we've done something different and this is what you can find and do now. Right. Now the biggest step forward this week is integration of our account system with the map system. They've married them together, and this allows for personal points of interest and player-owned town updates. I think they're going to be great. Now, the online version of the map can be found here. Well, there's a little link, okay. If you get to the news release, click on that little word here, you will go to the online map, right. Or you can navigate it from the nav bar on the home page. If you're looking at the home page of Shroud of the Avatar and you look for media, then you look for maps. Okay, sweet. Okay, it is accessible online. It's also accessible in the game. Now, the in-game map has some different features to the online map, right. So, if you're looking at it in a browser, you can search for stuff on the map. The search bar is on the top left. Start typing in it. It'll show the results that match. So if you can think of the name of somewhere you want to go, just type it in the search bar. Bang. you'll get any matches to it. Click on that, it'll show you where it is on the map. Fantastic. Any point of interest that resides within the current map can be searched. If it's on the map, you'll be able to find it. So to use this, you just need to log in to your shroudoftheavatar.com account to access some features of it. Right, and there's a login shortcut on every page of shroudoftheavatar.com, and it's on the top right of the map. So if you haven't logged in already, you've got the opportunity to do it there. Okay, so you say, why should I have to log in to use the map? Well, that's the answer to the question follows. You can place personal points of interest. Anybody who's logged into the map can put in personal points of interest. And to do that, you just enable editing on the map by clicking the menu that says edit off and selecting on. There you go. So now you can edit the map. You select from the toolbar in the bottom left-hand corner of the map, you select personal POI placement tool, and there is a blow up of what you'll see. You'll see a few symbols. There's a little flag symbol. It says insert POI on my layer. Now I'm taking that to mean, I'm not absolutely 100% sure about this, but I am taking that to mean that you can insert a point of interest on the map and you will see it. Probably not everybody else in the world will see it, but this appears to be personal to you. This is great. Okay. You select an icon that you want to represent it, and they've got a whole bunch of icons there. Fantastic. Just to start with, there's a blank one. There's one that indicates a person, indicates money, so it looks like it's a money bag. Crossed swords, an axe, a bow and arrow, a cross, a coat or clothing, whatever, scissors. Okay, there's a whole heap of them, indicating almost any type of situation or development you'd want to put a icon to. So you click on the map where you want to put it, and you click on the point of interest to bring up the edit screen. And okay, they've given you an example. You can type in trolls, and the description, there are trolls here. Now, next time you look at the map, oh, there's a little icon on the map, and you hover your mouse pointer over it, and it says trolls. So, okay, you have told yourself that, hey, this is a point of interest, and you can either go there and have fun and smack some trolls over the head, or you can basically avoid it if you want to. So that is awesome. You will be able to know much more about the map and whether you should go there, whether you shouldn't. Also, if you own a player-owned town, you can update it. If you own a player-owned town, that is on the map, and I guess that's sort of important because there are a lot of player-owned towns that are nested, and you can only access them through other player-owned towns. You go into the original town, there will be a wagon or a balloon or some such, or a ship or some such transport to the other player-owned town. Okay, those nested player-owned towns unfortunately don't appear on the Overland map. Okay, they were sort of running out of space, and rather than having so many player-owned towns on the map that it looked really, really congested and you couldn't see the wood for the trees, so to speak, they have decided, okay, this is the limit we can have on the map. Any more player-owned towns, you just have to nest them. Right. Those player-owned towns, unfortunately, you won't be able to do this with, obviously, because they don't appear on the map. But the ones that do, you can modify it. Fantastic. So, you navigate to your player owned town in the browser. You log in with the shroudoftheavatar.com account that owns it. So this is something for the governors of towns. Right, and you enable editing. Sweet. You have five new tools that come up on your taskbar. Okay, and there's a little target. There's a label type icon. And there are a few housing type icons. You can place something there. And then label it. And you call it, okay, an example. They've called it the Devotional of Courage. Nice. You place a label. And you have building placement tools. So, the POI placement allows you to put icons that everyone can see. So everybody will be able to see these icons that the governor places. They're searchable. The label placement allows you to put text on the map. So when somebody is looking at the detailed picture of the town on the map, you can see a piece of text that's written there. The building placement allows you to put images of buildings, and to update or delete any existing items, just click the item in edit mode. You'll be given options on the right sidebar. So the map now is so much more detailed, or it can be, and you can search player-owned towns and find out exactly what's in them. In terms of buildings, in terms of locations, in terms of devotionals, and whatever else that the governor wants to put in. So all you governors of player-owned towns, they've just developed some work for you. That's fantastic. Okay, but it's going to make the map a lot more interesting and a lot better. Another feature that it has is character tracking. This map in-game, the one that you pull up in-game and it occupies a little corner of the screen, it'll automatically change when you change scenes. So if you hop out of a particular adventuring area back to the overworld map and then back into another adventuring area, the map's going to change with you. That's great. And in addition, now this is a wonderful thing. There's a marker that indicates the player's position and direction. You have a moving map. Basically, you got a GPS. And I love the GPS in the car. It's absolutely fantastic. I couldn't live without it now. And not only do we have a GPS in the car, we have a GPS in the game. So you can keep the map up and running if you like, and it'll always be there. There's a marker that tells you where you are. It tells you which way you're going. So hopefully we won't get lost anymore. That'll be fantastic. All right, next item. We have wild boars. We got a new mob coming along. Yeah, and it looks a bit hairy. Okay. For a while now, we've had wild boars in the backlog as a wild creature that we need to expand our bestiary. However, it's always been the victim of other priorities, so they've always had other things that they wanted or needed to do first. I reckon they have a whole list a mile long in that JIRA of theirs of things that they want to do, they need to do, they'd like to do, and okay, they get to them eventually. Well, guess what? They've got to the wild boars. That's great. It had always been the victim of other priorities until we started making the Norgard barbarian clans, which are based on animals. Right. Now, each clan wears a headdress based on their totem animal, be it a stag, a bear, a wolf, a boar, or a dragon. Now, each clan got an awesome animal hat, except if you did notice, the poor boar clan Well, without any boars in the game, they just had to wear a simple leather hat, the poor people. That's disgusting. Well, as Star said, that just would not stand. So, in Release 50, the bestiary is expanding again, and it will include wild boars. They're going to attack with a ferocious charge that can knock down. Oh, yeah, lovely. Yeah, always wanted that. And then they will tear with their sharp tusks to bleed out those who encroach on their forest territory. They're going to be fairly tough, I'd say. A lot tougher than a elder wolf. Oh dear. There are elder and obsidian visual variations in addition to the base version. Great! So you have ordinary wild boars, you have elder wild boars, and you have obsidian wild boars. Okay. And I'm sure they'll find something to do with their carcasses and their hides. So that's great. But of course, it means that we'll also have a boar hat. And the boar clan will finally get a proper hat for themselves. So there you go. They have pictures of it. And yes, it is a pretty convincing picture. It looks like a pretty ferocious wild boar. Huge tusks on the thing. So, yeah, unless you're feeling strong and brave, then probably don't mess with it. Because it doesn't look a friendly animal. And they have pictures for us of the basic boar, of the elder boar, which is a greyish, sort of salt and pepper type coat. And the obsidian boar, well, that's a bit of a bluish-black coat. So, yes, you will know the difference. Probably one will annoy you and one will knock you down and kill you. And there's a boar hat. That looks pretty impressive as well. In fact, the neck margin of the hat looks really ragged, as if the poor head's just been ripped off. I guess that was intentional. So, yeah, it looks pretty scary. Okay. But I hope we start to see those in-game before too long. As from Release 50, they will be in. Okay, next item. The R48 telethon items. For another post by Darkstar. He says, we've begun creating the items from the Release 48 post-mortem telethon. The theme was once again icy, right? Our very own Fletcher Kinnear, aka Skathana, and Reed Rollo have been hard at work, freezing their hands off, sculpting new frozen treats for you. Well, we have screenshots, pictures here of the snowflake, the ice and snow gown, which looks absolutely lovely. Ah, that is going to be ideal for a ball, I reckon. There's a snowflake gown. An icy hot tub. Yeah, as they say, it makes no sense at all. I mean, how can you have an ice hot tub? I'm not quite sure about that. Sounds like a contradiction in terms, but there you go. We have a hot tub that is mounted in blocks of ice. I don't know what's going to happen first. I don't know whether the water will freeze or the blocks of ice will melt. But you'll have to buy one to find out. There's the ice sword. Ah, that looks really nice. Okay. So, they're making those for us. And hopefully, they will be in game soon. Alright, next item. There are new Movember items. And this is from another post by Darkstar. He says, we were so excited after our successful month of Movember fundraising. They raised $2,989. That is pretty awesome, isn't it? We had to add more Movember items. We're adding a moustache shield to the Movember Make a Difference store. And special Darkstar and Lord British colour variants of the moustache cloak, the moustache helm and moustache shield to the cloth map bundle, as well as the Darkstar and Lord British Follicular Reliquaries. Now, note the Dark Star Reliquary and the Cloth Map Bundle have already sold, but the Lord British Follicular Reliquary is still available. So here we have variants of the Moustache Shield. Looks rather nice. There's a Lord British Moustache Cloak. Very colourful. Lovely fur trim. Red and blue cloak with a gold fur trim and a gold moustache emblazoned on the back. And the Dark Star Moustache Cloak, all black and white, of course, or black and grey by the look of it, with a white fur trim and a white moustache. So if you want any of those, they're in the add-on store. Awesome. Okay, next item, the R49 Postmortem Telethon. It's coming up on January the 8th. So you've got a week or two to enjoy the holidays, enjoy the festive season, and pretty much as soon as we get back into serious business, we will have another postmortem, the R49 Postmortem Telethon. It's on January the 8th from 3 to 7 p.m. Central. And the post is, the winter season has set in, we're beginning preparations to celebrate the arrival of what is going to be an exciting 2018. Oh, you're not wrong. This next year is going to be exciting. We're announcing this week's Postmortem Telethon with new holiday stretch goals ready to be achieved, prizes to give away, and more informative developer deep dives. And it's coming up fast on January 8th. Right. As they started with Release 48, changing the format a bit, going back to briefer but more focused deep dives, and focusing more on questions related to those deep dives. So the schedule is, here we go, 3 o'clock introductions, including Black Sun and the postmortem Q&A. There's a deep dive at 3:45 about advanced combat and skills and leveling. Anyone who's interested in that, you do well to look and learn. At 4:30, there's a world building tour. 5:30, a deep dive number 2, all about the story. Fantastic. 6:15, postmortem Q&A continues, winding up at 7 p.m. Brilliant. Okay. Now, there are no expiring items this telethon. So, while we always encourage people to rush out and spend their money and grab everything possible in the add-on store, panic not, things won't be expiring this telethon. Okay. And as always, they have stretch goals. Yes. Any backer pledging a minimum of $5 for the 12 hours during the day of the telethon will get all of these wonderful things if we reach the stretch goals. For a $10,000 stretch goal, you can juggle snowballs. Nice. $25,000, there's an ice pipe. $35,000, a snow dragon, which is a snowman dragon made of sticks and such. Okay, that'll be fun to see. Not quite sure what they're talking about there. But anyway, at $50,000, there's an ice chest set. $65,000, an ice halberd, an ice spear, and an ice axe. At $80,000, there's an ice dragon statue with icy effects. Now, come on, I'm sure we can make the ice dragon this time. So let's give it our best shot. Right. And as always, we cheer on the devs for every $2,500 donated. All the devs on camera have to dance, sing, or perform some other act of amazement. Yeah, they carry on like crazy people, don't they? But it's all good entertainment. They're spinning the Wheel of Fortune, as ever. It's got 12 categories of sale, so stuff's going to go on sale randomly. So keep watching. The stuff that you actually really want could be going on sale at any minute. Okay. And they have the Lord British and Dark Star wildcards, where they get to choose any category. They say, rightio, boss, what's going on sale this time? So every time a category comes up, it's going to go on sale for about 20% off for the next hour. Fantastic. Okay, and there's a whole lot of categories there. So keep your eye on it. Be there if you can. Listen and watch the telethon as it's broadcast on Twitch, and you can also win prizes. All you have to do to win a prize is to be in Discord at the time, and they pull random names out of Discord, and you can win frosty goodies, you can win bank upgrades, Kotos, store credit, relics by ruled merchandise, and a bunch of other items, so that's fantastic. Okay, giving away prizes every hour. That's lovely. All right, questions. They would like questions, obviously, because they do try to answer as many as they can. So, you can submit them in the comments section of this original post or on Discord chat during the event. And I am amazed that the poor devs who are trying to coordinate the telethon actually managed to keep up with all the people who are scribbling down questions at the time. But look, they do say don't put more than three questions in. They really struggle to get through as many as they can. If you've got a question about bugs, in the bug forum, please. They handle them there, okay? If you've got any question about, you know, when is this coming, or anything related to the schedule, don't post that. It'll be in the quarterly updates or in the post-release plans. And if you've got a long, rambling sentence that's going to take two paragraphs, forget it. They won't have time to read it out. Okay? Keep it brief. Keep it short. Keep it to the point. And they would love to get to your questions and answer them all. Okay. And a final thought. They said they do get a lot of repeat questions and requests. People ask a question that's been asked before and before and before and before. Probably a good idea, like they always say, when all else fails, read the instructions. Or when all else fails, go back and look at some previous telethons or the answers as they're posted in the forum. And you quite likely find that the thing that's been bugging you has been answered already. So it's always good to be up to date and to know what's going on, so you don't have to ask the same question over again. Alrighty. Next item. The new free trial has begun this week. So, again, a great opportunity to get people into the game and to say, you can play this game for free. That's fantastic. See if you like it. And the now always on free trial has begun. From now on, this free trial will be permanent. So people can come in, they can play the game for nothing, and they don't have to worry about, oh, it's only going to last a month, and then that's it, you know, cut off. Anything I've done, I'll lose. Da-da-da-da. That's not happening. But as a reminder, they've mentioned this a couple of times in the news release. This free trial has a few changes in it. One, they're moving users to the path of courage. That's where you go if you want to do this for free, because they reckon using melee weapons is an easy introduction to the combat system. It's probably a little bit more intuitive and a bit simpler. Okay, that's good. They're going to limit interaction with the story to only the path of courage. You can't do love, you can't do truth. So you just won't be able to do it. And you can only go up to level 50. No more. I think the idea is to encourage people to continue to play, to continue to develop the character, and then hopefully they'll have their appetite whetted. They'll say, but I want to go further, and I want to be able to participate in the other storylines. And the obvious answer to that is fantastic. Buy a copy of the game and open access to everything. So, as was previous, there are a number of things you can't do. Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, you get called a visitor when you're in. You can't purchase or sell items from vendors. You can't own property. You can't interact with a lot of things. And you can't flag as PvP, you can't take part in PvP, you can't ransom or be ransomed, you're there, you are playing a substantial portion of the game, but there are those restrictions. And if you don't eventually upgrade to a paid account, all your character data might be deleted. So there it is. That's how it works. If you know anybody who'd be likely to be interested, please tell them about this great new idea. It's fantastic. Okay, next is a job opening. They mentioned this last week, so they're still looking. I hope they find somebody awesome. Alrighty. It's a office admin and executive assistant. We'll run through it again. Hopefully somebody will be interested. It says, thank you for your interest. We have an opening in Austin, Texas for a full-time office administrator / executive assistant position. If you want to join the Portalarium tribe, okay. Your resume, cover letter to jobs@portalarium.com. So what do they want? They want someone who can coordinate general office activities and operations to secure efficiency and compliance to company policies. You maintain stocks of office supplies, manage phone calls, general office correspondence, support budgeting, bookkeeping, create and update records and databases with personnel, financial and other data, assist colleagues whenever necessary, assist the founder and CEO with company and personal administrative tasks, including, but probably not limited to, managing calendars, making travel plans. Hey, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it? Richard Garrett rings you up, says, I need to go to a conference in XYZ week after next. Can you organise transport and accommodation for me? Oh, sweet. Wouldn't that be great? Meeting and event arrangements, payment and filing of invoices, managing mail, preparation of reports and errands. Great. So what you have to have requirements, at least 2 years experience as an office administrator or executive assistant to a C-level executive. You have to have some good presentation, communication and writing skills. Okay, a professional writing style would be good. You have to be able to follow creative and technical and business conversations. When they start talking stack tech stuff, hopefully your eyes don't glaze over and you think, oh my God, I have no idea what they're talking about. It'd help if you understand it a bit. Have a professional writing style with the ability to craft business emails, as well as about, 750 word articles. When they give you a general idea to develop, that's good. Organisational skills. Well, if you can translate assigned tasks into prioritised checklists and schedules and effectively manage them, in other words, be a self-starter. Be able to organise yourself, that's great. Be really good at Outlook calendar management, clearly detailing pertinent event information. You have to have research skills. When you're given research material, you can go and do it and search and summarise key points. Other critical skills are high attention to detail, high adaptability and taking feedback well. If you're self-driven with high work ethics, able to stay focused on work-related tasks. If you look out stuff to do during downtime, don't just sit and twiddle your thumbs. Think, this is sweet, I've got the afternoon off, nothing to do. No, go and see if there's someone else you can help. That's what the Portalarium team does, and that's what they want. If you have a high level of self-reliance, if you're willing to tackle all kinds of tasks for any and all admin needs, and if you're proficient with Windows and Office, fantastic. All right, optional skills, what they'd like, probably not essential. You'll pick it up pretty quickly, I guess. Basic accounting, including QuickBooks. And if you're familiar with Google Docs, Google Sheets, Dropbox, Slack, and Jira. So, if you or anybody you know meets those criteria and you want to join this awesome team, drop a resume and an application to jobs@portalarium.com. And good luck. and I'm sure they would absolutely love to hear from you. All right, there's a party happening. The Portalarium Studio Grand Holiday Party on January the 12th. I've mentioned this a couple of times, but just a reminder, the Grand Holiday Party, it's going to be held at the studios and in Shroud of the Avatar on Friday, January the 12th, 2018 at 5 to 10pm Central. There's going to be a lot of fun and activities. So not only for people attending in Austin, but also all those online around the world. So even if you're just in the game, you can still take part. You can meet the devs, there's food and drink. Don't know how they're going to do that in game. I think that's pretty much for the people who are there. But there's a white elephant gift exchange, there's games, storytelling and jokes. There's a live in-game party in Shroud of the Avatar. There'll be a video live stream, live music. It'll be streamed on Twitch and in audio and in Discord chat. So if you have a chance, by all means, go there one way or another and you will have a lot of fun. Next item, as always, there's a weekend flash sale. Nice. And this weekend, there's 20% off, as always. If you're interested in any of these items, you can run to the add-on store and get them for 20% off. So, who doesn't like saving money? This is absolutely brilliant. So, in honor of this holiday time during the winter season, they're putting Yuletide items, pulse dies, and various icy related items on sale. So, there's a winter patterned glass chandeliers, there's sleighs, there's ice building blocks. Yeah, a whole heap of stuff, really. Much more than we could go through. There's a nice breathe snow emote, there's pure white dye, there's all the sparkling, glowing and pulsing dyes. Have a look. Anything you want that's remotely related to Yuletide or the time of year, it'll be there for 20% off. Fantastic. Enjoy. Now, the upcoming events calendar. January the 8th is, as they said, the R49 Postmortem Telethon. January the 12th is the Grand Holiday Party. Just mentioned that. January 25th is Release 50. February the 2nd is the R50 Postmortem Telethon. February the 22nd is Release 51. March 9th to the 18th is SSXSW. March 21 to 23 is GDC. March 22 is Release 52. That is the launch candidate. That, hopefully, this is the plan. When we launch the game and we stop seeing that little annoying screen at the start that says you are entering a construction zone and not all of this is finished, we shouldn't see that anymore, because the game should be in an adequate and finished state to give to the general public and to hopefully attract hundreds or thousands more players. That would be awesome. But they're still going to do monthly updates all the time. Alrighty, next item, the Airy Fund Dev Crafting Competition and Charity Auction results. This is sort of brilliant, isn't it? The results are, thanks to the awesome developers and community members, Airy Fund raised an amazing $5,571.32 during these auctions. Now, as you may recall, a lot of the devs got together, donated their time and their effort using the tools that the game provides, created some really, 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 really awesome pieces of armor, weaponry, what have you, with serious enchantments and stuff that people would give their eye teeth to own. Well, some people have given their eye teeth, and they managed to raise, as I said, over $5,500 in actual cash for from this auction. These funds will be put to good use as we continue to help members of our community who are in need, and will provide us the needed operating resources to keep the Airy Fund going for the year ahead. This is actually a brilliant concept, and thanks to Thaxador, who I believe started the whole concept off with an effort to help a particular avatar who was in serious trouble. It's just continued, and it's become an incredibly worthwhile charity. It says, since February of this year, we've raised an incredible $77,911.32, that's including the Master of the Forge funds, and they have paid out $70,584 to well-vetted players in need and to charities we support, like the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, the Trevor Project, and the Children's Miracle Hospital Network. Because of the generosity of the gamers and the people playing Shroud, a lot of other people are much better off. That is wonderful. They say, thank you. Thanks to your support, we're able to provide a place for avatars to go when times are tough and build an altruistic gaming network inside of New Britannia and out. So, for more on the Airy Fund, you can visit their FAQ thread, there's a link to that, or their website, there's also a link to that. So if you want to get involved in any way, you would be more than welcome. That's fantastic. And the competition winners, well, the results are based off cumulative likes for submitted items. And the winner, well, a piece by Darkstar, who got 31 likes. Wow. He not only created truly epic gear, he did it twice. Seriously, the number and quality of his pieces made this no easy feat. Not only were his creations death and chaos inspired, they were crafted over the course of days during his off time. We're grateful for his dedication and his support, and any crafter in the game will know how heartbreaking it can be trying to craft a truly awesome item, because you make something that's an exceptional item, okay, that's pretty lucky if that happens, then you start enchanting and masterworking it, and on the third enchant or masterwork, the thing just explodes and you've lost it all, so you have to start again. Probably on the 10th, 12th, or 15th, or 20th time through, you have a really outstanding piece of weaponry or armor. And Darkstar has produced some fantastic pieces. And came in second, a community member, Bodhi Ark, got 24 likes for his Courage and Copper set. And that just looks absolutely beautiful. It says here, those of you who know Bodhi know that he takes his crafting very seriously. It was composed of nearly a million gold pieces of in-game resources, funneled through his impressive skill set at the crafting tables. So, that is just wonderful. As they say, we're honoured that Bodhi donated his time and energy to this cause. Nice. Righty, next item. They have a contest. It is the New Britannia Carolers Creative Writing Contest. They've run this one, mentioned it last week, so mentioning it again. They're saying, sing along with us. Just like last year's contest, this one is simple and fun. For the next couple of weeks, from December 15 to January 2, we want to see what songs, poems, and other holiday stories you can come up with that are related to Shroud of the Avatar. So when you have a submission ready, post it in the thread in the forum. There's a link to it there in the newscast. You can edit your entry right up until the deadline. So don't be afraid to put it in. You can always change it if you want to update it. Now there will be themes. There's the most inventive, a romantic theme, a holiday theme, an adventure theme, a character or NPC theme, a PvP or combat theme, and an unexpected theme. Now, if a theme doesn't get any entries, well, they'll add a winner to a theme that has multiple entries. So they're going to give out the prizes anyway. Please limit entries to no more than 800 words and 3 pages with up to 4 images if you need images. Shorter is usually better, okay? So keep it nice and short if you can. Don't feel you need to max out the limits. It's often a lot easier and a lot more refreshing to absorb and read something that's short and to the point. Okay, each winner is going to get 25 kotos. That's worth getting, isn't it? Awesome. Especially, as I read during the forum this week, apparently the price of kotos has skyrocketed for some reason. The prevailing theory was that somebody was trying to buy them all up to create a bit of a market shortage. I don't know whether that's true or not. But I think sooner or later the price will level off. Anyway, 25 kotos is very, very worth having, as well as the winter holiday soundtrack on wax cylinders. Very nice. So, as they say, have fun being a creative creator. And not only, but also, they have a couple of entries here for the contest, which they've been running for a little while, on the Avatar's Guide to Knowledge and Virtue. And this is the ongoing video creation contest, which we've been talking about for some weeks now. If you haven't done it yet, please do it, because they would love to see your entry. Basically, if you know something about the game, if you think, okay, I understand this bit of the game, I understand this concept fairly well, and I think I could explain it to somebody, make somebody else's life a bit easier, well, create a video. They would love to have it. And that can go in their video collection, and people can look through it and say, oh, right, of course, this is so easy. I never realized how easy it was. Okay, there's a couple of entries here. Shertugles, I hope I've got that name right. Locked Combat Deck Tutorial. So, there we go. If you want to be playing with a locked combat deck, you can do it. You can do so many variations with your combat deck. And here is one. Why not have a look at it? Take something from it. And the more people you talk to and the more ideas you get, the more you'll be able to design a deck that is suited just to you. Okay, and if you're baffled by the Malice Dungeon and you're having trouble getting through it, there is a video by Lil Tipsy called Malice Dungeon Part 1. So there you go. Have a look at those. And there's a link there that says all current entries can be found here. The contest is continuing through the holidays. You've got until January the 15th to design a walkthrough video for all New Britannians to use as a resource for making their way successfully in the game. So when you have this video that you've created, post it in the thread. Well, it says, okay, this thread. There's a link there. There's a forum thread where you can post your videos. You'll be able to find it, no trouble. You can edit your posts right up until the deadline, and they'll be posting all final videos on Portalarium's YouTube channel in a playlist after the contest ends. That is great. And there's a link there that tells you all the details of the contest, including what you can win. So check up on that if you're interested. It's well worthwhile doing. Nice. Okay. Recommend a project to support. We have Dennis Lube as Patreon. Now, good friend Dennis Lube, and one responsible for Shroud of the Avatar's cover art and almost every piece of cover art for Ultima, as well as many other art pieces in SOTA's early days of development, is now running his own project. He's creating more science fiction and fantasy art for you to enjoy. Check it out at Patreon. And a little note from him. He says, if you remember the Ultima series of computer games, I'm the guy that did most of the covers and the manual illustrations, as well as a lot of the in-game art and animation. I've been doing game art since the 80s for companies such as Steve Jackson Games, Hero Games, Origin Systems Incorporated, King's Isle, Disney, and many more. I want to try doing art directly for my fans with no middleman. That's the reason for this Patreon project. So that sounds like a great idea. He could do art directly for you. So if you like that idea, hop over to the link there. He's running a Patreon project. If you want to support him financially in this endeavor, be in it. That's great. Okay, resources, players helping players. As always, the New Player Welcome Forum and the Player Created Resources Forum have the best player created resources for Shroud of the Avatar. There's a couple of links there. If you're new to the game, if you don't know where to go, you will probably find the answer there because people have written down so much. It's a written guide, there's a video walkthrough and a wiki type website. Also, there is a page in the forum, the community resources page, for a complete listing of everything community related. Okay, now we're not going to have to say this for much longer. This is exciting. Backer shipping addresses. The physical goodies are coming out soon. They are making them as we speak. And they should be out before March. So after that, we won't have to say this anymore. But just another reminder, the physical goodies are coming. They do want to know where to send them. Make sure you've looked up your account page and edit your profile, put your address in so they know where to send all this stuff. And there you go. You will be able to get this exciting package in the mail in the next couple of months or so. All right, and that'll be good to get. We've been waiting for that for a long time. And finally, it is on the horizon. That's great. Okay, the very last message. A message from Portalarium, from Lord British's Shroud of the Avatar Forsaken Virtues, from all of us at Portalarium. Happy holidays. I'm sure you'd all agree, it's been a great year for the game. The team have worked so hard for us, and exciting things are on the horizon. And I just want to add my own personal greeting there. Thanks to all the team, to everybody who makes up this fantastic community. Love you all. Stay safe. Have a wonderful holiday season. Whatever you're doing, whether you're spending time with family, whether you are able to take some time off, whether you're able to travel at all or be refreshed, get together with friends and loved ones, whatever you're doing, enjoy, stay safe, and come back to the game refreshed and invigorated for a really exciting 2018. I will be away myself next week, so Lord Baldrith will be back in the seat looking after you for the last newscast of 2017. So until we catch up again in the new year, as we say, have a wonderful holiday, enjoy, and see you next time. So I'll take us out. The wonderful background music for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. And thanks to Sestile Tekle for the technical work on the newscast. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting this newscast on Avatars Radio. Don't forget, Avatars Radio needs your support to keep the magic of this podcast, events and music going. Visit their page at avatarsradio.info and click on the Patreon link. This is Asclepius signing off until next year with Echoes from the Caverns.